Are you looking to upgrade your game on and off the field? Triple Crown Jewelry makes the cleanest jewelry in the game so you can show your style. Their jewelry is made by athletes for athletes with durability and style in mind. They make the best-selling number pendants and chains that you're already seeing on the field. Whether your style is gold, matte black, or silver, Triple Crown Jewelry has what you need. Personally, I'm more about the silver, but Triple Crown is ready for whatever your style. The chains look great. They're durable with a shine that stands out. And when you put it on, it has a nice heft to it. You can feel the quality. Your number is yours. It's part of your identity, and Triple Crown knows that. They have numbers from 00 to 99 available, so you can show your number, your identity, on and off the field. Their jewelry will never turn your neck green or fade. They're tarnish-resistant and made to last. These aren't just accessories. They're a statement of your dedication and love for the game. And that shine is unmatched. And in addition to choosing between the three different finishes, you can also choose from a variety of chains, including rope, Franco, and Cuban chains. So try it yourself. If you're ready to elevate your drip on and off the field, get some new drip at triplecrownjewelry.com and get a special discount just for our listeners. Get 25% off your first order site-wide with promo code BA2022. That's BA2022 at triplecrownjewelry.com. And by doing so, you're supporting our podcast. Orders are shipped the same or next business day from New Jersey, and orders over $50 get free shipping. Don't miss out on the opportunity to make a statement both on and off the field. Go to triplecrownjewelry.com and lead the league in drip.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Baseball America Prospects podcast. I'm Kyle Glazer, joined by Josh Norris as we discuss the Yankee system here today. Josh has done the Yankees for many, many years now. Wrote up Aaron
Six
Judge.
6 years, I think.
Aaron Judge, Luis Severino, Gleyber Torres, all the guys that have come up, Miguel Andujar, all the guys that have come up and helped make the Yankees great again. Josh has been on them for quite some time now. Josh, this is a system that is not quite as crazy good as it has been in past years, but for the right reasons, because they've graduated guys successfully to the majors.
For the right reasons and some of the wrong reasons, I'd say this top 10 is full of guys that are either a long way away or had lost seasons because of injury, etc. It's a very, very futures-based system. It's a couple guys here at the top, a couple arms in Sheffield and Loaisiga, who are ready to help now and did help a little bit this year. And Loaisiga is the... helped the most this year. Sheffield got a little taste at the end, but other than that, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys who played mostly at A ball. I mean, Davey Garcia got one start in Triple or Double A, and Michael King made it all the way to Triple A. But predominantly, that's an A ball and below system, or at least top 10.
And I will say, I think it's an okay place to be. If that's your, if that's where you are and your team is older veterans and you're 75 and 87, it's not where you want to be. But when you've got a lot of young guys in the major leagues, you are consistently winning 90-plus games, it's okay because they need help, and they are going to get it from a couple of pitchers, in theory at least. But it's not like this is a again, I feel like it's not a terrible thing this is where they are. It's just kind of facts of life, competitive at the major league level, and have to wait on some of the prospects to be ready.
Yeah, I mean, like there are a lot of international guys too that are just, Cabello got into the system after last year's handbook went to press. So there's a reason he wasn't in the 30 last year. I think they signed him 2 days before Christmas. Everson Pereira turned, he made his pro debut outside of the in a setting that counts when he was 17 and 2 months. Anthony Siegler was in high school when the handbook went to press last year. Where we've got Davey Garcia, who started the year and extended and ended in Double A. Roansy Contreras started the year and extended and ended it in Charleston. Like I said, it's a very young system.
Absolutely. I do want to talk about the guy at the top, Justice Sheffield. He did everything he was supposed to do, right? He got started back in Double A, went up to AAA, pitched to a sub-3 ERA, made the Futures game, made his Major League debut. What can Yankees fans realistically expect Justice Sheffield to be at the Major League level based on all the research and reporting you've done?
It depends on if he continues to make progress in the areas that he needs to. He needs to command his fastball better. He needs to show separation between his off-speed pitches and his fastball. He can't go full bore every time and expect hitters at the Major League level not to pick up on the similarities in velocity. He needs to add more depth to the slider, which, you know, showed in spurts. I think if he does all those things on a consistent basis, you could be talking about a guy who's maybe a 3-starter. If not, you're looking more at a back-end type or a reliever type. I wouldn't worry about the fact that he debuted as a reliever. That was more to see if he could help them in that role down the stretch. That role went to Stephen Tarpley, ultimately, at least into the playoffs. So there's still a little bit of development to do with Justice Sheffield. He's close, but I wouldn't say he's there yet. I think he'll probably wind up back in AAA to start the year. I'm assuming the Yankees will add some sort of starter in some form or fashion from outside the organization this offseason. So I don't know how many spots will be available come, you know, February.
Well, we always know with pitchers, they go down and sometimes they regress. So I think as long as he makes the steps he should, I think it would be reasonable to assume he'll get a chunk of starts in New York next year.
I mean, he'll get a shot at that. I mean, this is an organization that's going to have a lot of money available to spend with guys coming off the books and the tax rate resetting. They are going to have the ability to go buck wild if they want to. And, you know, if you're a Yankee fan, you know that sometimes they do that.
Less so under Hal Steinbrenner than his dad.
Right. But this year you're going to have, I think you watch for a guy like Patrick Corbin to be on their radar. And I wouldn't be surprised if they use some of this system to deal for someone that we might not expect at this point. The Diamondbacks have been reported to want to put, you know, a yard sale sign up, and Zach Greinke could be a guy that they would, you know, empty the farm for and take on whatever salary is remaining.
There's no question the Yankees are not going to stand pat. You know they need starting pitching. I know they need starting pitching. They know they need starting pitching, and I would fully expect them to go get it as aggressively as they can. Although we have seen, and this is one thing the Yankees have really excelled at, we talk about every team who's ever been successful has done two things. They have brought up prospects as a core, but they've also traded prospects, and figuring out which ones to keep and which ones to trade can make or break a franchise's future success if they make the wrong calls. The Yankees historically, at least under Brian Cashman,
he's been the GM for most of my adult life. All of my adult life, as a matter of fact.
Have been very, very, very good about discerning this is who we keep, this is who we trade. In terms of the next steps, you mentioned so many of these guys are so far away. Who for you are the keepers in the system right now?
You know, I don't generally believe in no trades or untouchables. At all.
Well, the example I'll give is at last year's winter meetings, Cashman discussed that they were engaged with the White Sox about Chris Sale. They said the price was So at last winter meetings, he said that during the 2016 winter meetings, they were talking about it. And he had mentioned at that point that the price was Luis Severino and Aaron Judge. They said no. As much as Chris Sale has been a stud, you feel pretty good about the Yankees saying no to that trade.
Right, and I don't think they have anybody of that caliber that is near. If the price for someone like a Sale or a Bumgarner or a guy like that is there and your cost is Sheffield and Florial, then send them on over. That's easy.
And that's the interesting...
Depending on, you know, what you see on the medicals and contract stuff and all that. But, you know, if you can get an ace for those two guys, go ahead.
With regards to, you know, the system, you mentioned those are the top two guys and you feel comfortable trading them for that veteran. The guy who came up last year, Jonathan Loaisiga, who had long had stuff, had a terrible injury record, came up, did well to start with, And then September, the wheels kind of fell off. They were pitching him out of relief, which makes a little bit of a difference, different roles. Where do you see him fitting into the Yankees, both short-term and long-term? And can he be trusted to stay healthy enough to actually be a starting pitcher over a 162-game season?
I think he's got the upside of a mid-rotation starter. He's, when he was healthy, you know, before he went down with the shoulder barking, his stuff was as good as a lot of guys in that rotation, not named Luis Severino. He showed a fastball up to 98, a really good changeup, and a decent breaking ball. Those were all there. Now, he went down again with the shoulder, and then he came back and wasn't as good. But if he's healthy, he can fit, he can start for a major league team at a championship level. I think he's got a very big upside, but, you know, he's had shoulder problems with the Giants. He had shoulder problems with the Yankees. He's had Tommy John surgery.
It's a scary, scary injury record. And again, we'll see if it can withstand. One of the most fascinating guys to me in this system, and we talk about fascinating guys, a lot of times a guy at the lower levels who kind of excites or someone who flashes big tools but doesn't really put it together. The Yankees' intriguing guy is the opposite. He's the guy where nothing's sexy, but gosh darn, he performed. And his name was Michael King.
I mean, I consider fastball command sexy.
Yes. I would say the casual looking for the lighting up the radar gun.
Yeah.
So with Michael King, A, what is your view of him and scouts' views of him? And B, how, is it real and repeatable at the major league level?
Boy, you know, he is... In the 6 years I've done this system, I think he has given me the widest range of outcomes. I've heard anything from seventh inning reliever to Roy Halladay light. So it was tough to figure out what he is. He's a guy who will attack the strike zone with a cut fastball that he added in AAA this year and a two-seam fastball. To what one person said he can use to create X's in the strike zone, which is very helpful. A changeup that could be swing and miss at times. A slider that is maybe a tick below that. And it's really hard to argue with the results that he had this year. He annihilated high A. He did the same at double A. He didn't miss a beat at triple A. I think this is a guy who's going to get a long look in spring training and, you know, possibly have a chance to be that kind of back-end four-starter type. If you're going to split the difference on the opinions from seventh-inning guy to Roy Halladay light, you're left with like a four starter, and that's a pretty darn good get for Caleb Smith and Garrett Cooper.
Absolutely. You know, and with Michael King, what's been impressive too is, yes, he's a late round guy, 12th rounder, but he's a 2016 draft, got up to AAA 2018. He's not been a guy that's slow moving. He's not been a guy that scuffled and then maybe figured something out where you can still be skeptical of it. Got into the pro ball, as you mentioned, the Marlins system. His first full year was not bad. It wasn't incredible. He was still a college pitcher pitching in low A, which you always want to have a little bit of pump the brakes on. But, again, he's moved pretty quickly, and the durability as well. This isn't someone who showed it to you over, it was a pretty good 90 innings, 100 innings. Pitched 161 in the third innings this year, 149 a year ago. There's some durability there, which sometimes that we see a lot. That's half the battle.
Yeah, he led the system in strikeouts. I think it was 152 was the number. What also people tell me about him is that he is incredibly studious and well-prepared. He keeps notes on hitters when he's not starting in a little binder that he has. He's prepared to a fault almost. He knows how he wants to attack them, and he does it. And, you know, I got to see him once here in Durham. Unfortunately, it rained, but, you know, he had... the Bulls hitters, they had the Governor's Cup champion Bulls hitters number for, what was it, like four innings before it rained. You know, in, out, up, down, change eye levels, change speeds. And he made a good lineup look pretty average.
You mentioned pitch execution, and sometimes I think when people are just focusing on, okay, how much movement is there, velocity, all of which matters a lot, don't get me wrong. But I think sometimes that ability to know what you need to do and do it to perfection 70 times, 80 times, 100 times over the course of a start, that's a rare, rare gift and something that does separate the major leaguers from the minor leaguers.
Yeah, he executes his plan, and he did it pretty darn well at three levels this year. He made, in that, there were starts where he went against New Hampshire lineup that had Bo Bichette and Kevin Biggio and Harold Ramirez, who won the Eastern League batting title in there, and he struck him out. I think he struck out 11 guys over 9 one-hit innings, a complete game shutout, which you don't see too often in the minors. Dude had 2 complete games this year, I think.
There's, again, the durability is really, really impressive. 2 complete games, but you do not see that often from minor leaguers. So, Josh, you have this 10. I have to ask, in a system where so many young guys far away, a couple guys moving up a little bit, how many guys were really in consideration to be in this 10?
12 or 13.
And at what point were, how many of these guys that made the 10 were like definitively in the 10?
8.
Okay. So the back two.
Back two or so.
One guy that's interesting, and you'll have to check out baseballamerica.com to find out if he made the final cut and made the 10 or not, is Albert Abreu. Mm-hmm. Someone that was very, very promising, highly rated, acquired from the Astros in the Brian McCann deal. What, again, just to fill everyone in, A, what happened this year, and B, what are the evaluations of him now?
Well, to start the year, he needed his appendix out, and that cost him, I forget how long, but it cost him, it delayed the start of his season. And then at some point in midseason, his elbow started barking, and that cost him some time too. He didn't do particularly well in his rehabs in the GCL. Those are some ghastly numbers for the GCL rehab assignments. But when he's healthy, you still see a fastball that touches 100 miles an hour. You still see a plus or better curveball. You still see a changeup that's right there. He's young. He still needs to command all those pitches better. He needs to learn to dial it back a little bit at times. I know it sounds like a broken record talking about him and Sheffield that way. But the raw ingredients are as good as any arm in this system that is, in full season ball at this point. So, he was on the fringes of it, of the top 10. There was a late decision to either add or remove him. Go to BA.com to find out. His ceiling is still very high. When I do my rankings, I tend to bet on ceiling rather than whether the player is a safe bet or not. I like to shoot the moon with young guys. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And he's one of those guys who is going to have a pretty high ceiling. Whether he gets there or not is, years off. But it was a wild card in that McCann trade. And, right now it's a scratch it with 2 cherries showing in that last window to scratch off.
You're killing it with the metaphors today, man. We should send you back to Arizona more often. You come back with some really interesting comparisons for human beings. I love it. Well, Josh, thank you so much.
We're not. I got some more here. We can keep going. We can talk about some other guys here. I want to talk about Davey Garcia a little bit.
Go ahead.
Dude, Davey Garcia, I think we ranked him 18th in our system in the Yankees system last year. He struck out 14 per 9 this year or so. Maybe he's 13 per 9. But he's a shorter guy, 5'11", I think 170, if you're generous. And he comes with a low 90s fastball that has touched, I think, 95 this year. And a curveball that spins at 3,000-plus RPMs. And a changeup it's getting there. It's coming along. It's not quite the curveball. But they wanted to work on some stuff in spring, extended spring with him in terms of making sure the arm slots were consistent on all his pitches, and it looks like it worked. So when he got to low A, he did really well. He struck out everyone. When he got to high A, he not only struck out everyone, he's going to go down in 2018 minor league infamy for pitching 7 perfect innings and not getting a decision. He pitched a game where Tampa did not give up a hit or a walk and lost. So,
oh, that's right. That was
the extra inning rule. They put a runner on second, and I think it was like an error that got him home or something. It's a tangent here. There's a couple quirks this year. They had that. You had a 2-pitch inning thanks to that rule. You had, I think, three runners got on base with four pitch or with one pitch thrown, two intentional walks, and a triple. But anyway, yeah, he was
minor league weirdness.
Yeah,
hashtag puts a new perspective on hashtag YCPB. You can't predict ball.
No,
the minor league level, that takes an extra level of weird.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, he was involved in that, and then he moved up to Trenton for his final start of the year and went 5-1 hit shutout innings with 8 strikeouts to clinch the Eastern Division for the Thunder. So that's pretty good for a guy who's still in his early 20s. And then I could talk about Antonio Cabello a little bit. Like I said, they got him after the book went to press, so he was in the appendix but not a Yankee at that point. He's a converted catcher who is playing center field now. So basically they said, you know, you have a 7-8 runner here behind the plate. You probably are wasting him there. So you put him out in center field and see what he can do. And all he did was, I think it was like an 870 ops in the GCL.
He was really strong. He made our classification all-stars.
As a 17-year-old, unfortunately, his season ended when he dislocated his left shoulder on a diving play and had to have surgery on it, so that he wasn't in instructional league. But, you know, he and Anthony Garcia, who struck out 40% of the time but hit 10, 11 home runs in the GCL, also 17 years old, and Roberto Chirinos, an infielder with a 70 arm at shortstop, all 17 years old, all made their debut stateside. Garcia, as a matter of fact, Anthony Garcia, got to Pulaski, I believe, for the last couple games. And, you know, that's when I say the system is far away, we're talking about three 17-year-olds, and we didn't even talk about the other 17-year-old, Everson Pereira, who played his entire season at Pulaski and, you know, didn't fill up the stat sheet very well, but he didn't get the bat knocked out of his hand. But he held his own for the entire year at 17 years old, and he'll be 18 all year next year and might wind up in Charleston to start the year.
So just to play devil's advocate here a little bit, the Yankees have had some very, very promising international talents that we've heard about in the extended levels, the GCL levels, even Pulaski. When they've gotten the full season ball, they've really, really struggled. You look at, you know, Wilkerman Garcia and Dermis Garcia were both guys at various points. Got to Charleston this year. The numbers ranged from meh to ugly. The reviews were pretty much across the board ugly. What separates these guys and makes, you know, gives faith that they will be better than maybe some of these other guys?
Cabello is as polished a hitter as you will find at that age, not named Guerrero or Soto. You know, his numbers outside of the batting average, his on base and slugging were comparable to Soto at the same level, at the same age, which I thought was very interesting. Garcia could very well be the next Dermis Garcia, who had similar power at a similar age, different position, and now Dermis is going to be, they're trying to pitch him now. He very well could be. 40% strikeout rate is alarming. But, you know, in the views I got of him, it wasn't a whole lot of chasing. It was swinging through pitches in the zone, which you can take that either way. You could say he should be hitting some of these, or you could say he's got an idea of the strike zone. It's just a matter of refining that swing path. You know, Chirinos, I think, has the lower ceiling of those three. He's a defensive shortstop who might hit enough to be respectable, but, you know, he held his own this year in the GCL. And we didn't even mention Rainfer Salinas, who they swear, or people inside the organization say, has a higher ceiling than all of them. He just didn't get on the field this year very often. He had, like, a broken or some sort of ring finger injury, and I don't remember what the other one was. He had a couple injuries that kind of limited him, but Salinas was very high on their pref list in that class. He signed the same time as Cabello.
It's interesting. A lot of these guys you're mentioning are coming out of their international program. The Yankees drafting has been, you know, mixed recently, right? I mean, you go back, it's kind of amazing. Aaron Judge was the hit of hits, and if you're only going to hit on one of 7 or 8, that's a pretty big one to hit on. But you go back, Cecil Culver, Dante Bichette, Ty Hensley, Ian Clark, and then you go Judge. But Eric Jagielo traded, Kyle Holder, still in the minors, Kaprielian and Rutherford traded. Both have some questions as to how much impact they're really going to have.
Kaprielian hasn't been on the mound in a game that counted since 2016.
And thus, there's a lot of questions about how much impact he'll really ever have. You know, Clark Schmidt, TJ, we'll see how that recovers. But It's interesting. The Yankees have built this really, really excellent team through international, through savvy trades. And again, Judge is a huge hit. They have not drafted overwhelmingly well this past decade. And it seems like, just given the makeup of the top 10 of this system, again, it's similar. The next wave is going to be similar to the past wave, which is heavy international, maybe not a lot coming from the domestic draft side of things.
You know, we didn't talk about Anthony Siegler, who, you know, obviously there's no verdict on him just yet. He had an okay pro debut, an interesting background, switch hitter, switch pitcher. He had some problems this year. He had hamstring injuries that cost him some time and a concussion that cost him some time. But, you know, they believe that this is a guy who can be a true catcher with 6-plus defense, maybe a 7-arm, doubles power, maybe 10, 15 home runs a year. But another tangent here, power is extremely hard to project these days.
Yes.
Extremely. I'll go back to Jose Ramirez. If you told me Jose Ramirez, who hit 13 home runs as a minor leaguer career, was going to hit 38 this year, I don't think if you had put a game of Mario Kart on it, would have told you he'd hit 38 home runs this year. Power is so hard to predict given the what's going on with the baseballs. Better lighting, better access to advanced scouting, better access to video, any number of factors, just general body maturity at that point. These guys are getting up there younger and younger. I mean, a guy like Juan Soto might still have some man strength to come, and that's kind of scary. But the point being that Siegler is a guy that they're hoping for big things from on the draft side, and I think they're very well aware of their draft misses, especially high lately. For a while, I think when I got here, their last regular to come from the draft was Brett Gardner.
And, you know, Ian Kennedy had some success.
But I meant position players.
Oh, position players, yes.
Yeah, Phil Hughes did too. Phil Hughes had a 10-something big league year career, depending on if he's going to come back at some point.
Yeah, he pitched last year.
He seems very happy to tweet and, you know.
great Twitter follow, by the way. He might, as Brandon McCarthy retires, Phil Hughes might be the next guy if he stays around for another couple years or two.
Let's pump the brakes here. Brandon McCarthy's a good
He's on his own level, I agree. I'm just saying, Phil Hughes, he's got game on social.
Right, right. Yeah, their system is a lot of international guys and a lot of trades. Donnie Roland and his crew have done an excellent job at identifying some of these relatively low dollar signs. Severino got 6 figures. I believe Andujar got 6 figures instead of 7. Sanchez got $3 million or so. A lot of these guys, Roansy Contreras didn't get a big amount of money. Davey Garcia didn't get a big amount of money. You know, those guys didn't get a huge amount of money. Floreal didn't get a huge amount of money. We haven't talked about Luis Medina, who has probably the highest upside of any of their arms in their system, but he had a ghastly year, in which he, you know, walked a ton of guys and gave up a ton of hits. But you're still talking about a guy who has a triple-digit fastball and a curveball that's well above average, if not double, if not a 7. So, and once if he can command it. You're talking about something very special. But there's a long way to go. It just was a bad year at Pulaski. This is a long way of saying, yes, this system is very international, and it's very right-handed pitching. I could do a legitimate 30 right-handed pitchers. I could do a legitimate 30 international guys. But, that's the way this system is. Last year, outside of Torres and Andujar, who obviously did great things at the minor league in the major leagues this year, both should be around the rookie of the year conversation. You're going to have your Otanis of the world in the top three. It could be him and Wendell and Andujar and Torres in the American League side. Obviously, Otani won our rookie of the year. Go read the story at baseballamerica.com.
Written by yours truly.
Yes, he wrote it. Yeah, the system's very international. It's very right-handed. I've been rambling.
It's all good. Well, I think we'll wrap up with that ramble. Are you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you for listening. You go ahead and check out the Yankees top 10 online at baseballamerica.com right now. Pick up a copy of the issue. Josh knows the system as well as anyone who does not work for the Yankees, and probably even a little better than some people who do work for the Yankees.
No, that's not true. That's 100%
not true.
Hey,
I'm trying to talk you up, man. Come on.
No. Mm-mm. No.
Well, that'll about do it for today. For Josh Norris, I'm Kyle Glazer. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.